evening, everyone. This is Lou Caravelli, and you're listening to The Divided Kingdom. Thank you for joining us. We have a lot of interesting stories tonight, some things that I didn't know about, and I suspect a great many of you don't either. If you'd like to contact me, make a donation, just write a letter, just say hi, just say, why don't you talk about this, et cetera, et cetera. You can write to me at Lou Caravelli, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. I'll repeat that later if you didn't have a pen or pencil handy and you don't already have it written down. But let's get into some of the things to discuss today. First of all, we have this story from The People's Voice, written by Baxter Dimitri, March 31st, 2025. The headline, Trump launches Chemtrails Task Force with power to arrest, quote, geoengineering criminals, unquote. Now, I may have talked a little bit about this topic a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, but I believe this has more information than I disclosed at that time, or that I was aware of at that time. So let me read a little of this. The Trump administration, alongside Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has just declared all-out war on chemtrails. That's right. They're not whispering about it anymore. They're forming a task force, and they're coming for the planes. The pilots, the scientists, and the shadowy overlords bankrolling this aerial assault on humanity. This is Nuremberg 2.0, and it's happening right now. And a subheadline, Trump launches Chemtrails Task Force with power to arrest geoengineering criminals. You've seen the skies, those unnatural grid-like streaks of white stretching horizon to horizon, lingering for hours like prison bars. Not contrails, folks. Chemical trails. We've got the videos and the lab reports to prove it in a court of law. Aluminum, barium, strontium, toxic payloads dumped on us like we're lab rats in some globalist experiment. For years, the government and media have gaslit us, called us crazy, told us it's just water vapor, while they have been systematically poisoning us. But the people aren't buying it anymore. The mass formation psychosis has been broken. And so big names with great influence are joining the crusade against the psychopaths dropping toxic payloads on us from great heights. And now RFK Jr., with his relentless crusade against environmental crimes, is standing shoulder to shoulder with the president. And they've got a message, quote, the spraying must stop, unquote. Here's the bombshell. The Trump administration is putting together a task force they're calling Operation Skywatch behind closed doors. Their mission? Identify every plane spewing the poison. Bring them down, safely, of course, because there are interrogations to be conducted. We're talking pilots, aviation execs, scientists, and the elite financiers who have been funding this operation from their ivory towers. The task force isn't messing around. And we know for a fact there are FAA insiders, military brass, and whistleblowers from the private sector ready and willing to spill the beans. And they're not stopping there. They're using cutting-edge machine learning to scrape X, Telegram, and every corner of the Internet for real-time intel. Posts, pics, videos, pinpointing where and when these planes are dumping their loads. But here's where it gets real. They are going to need you. This is a call to arms. Every citizen with a smartphone is a soldier in this fight. Grab your camera, point it skyward, and document every suspicious trail you see. Upload it to X and every social media platform you use. Hollywood's even jumping in, and Woody Harrelson isn't the only high-profile name stepping into the Trump administrator's orbit with a mission to uncover the truth behind chemtrails. Jim Brewer, the actor and comedian, has joined the fray with his no-nonsense skepticism. Known for mocking mainstream narratives on podcasts, Brewer's alleging that the chemical trails have been ramped up over the last year. Figures like Woody Harrelson and Jim Brewer have played a massive role in waking up millions to the reality of chemical or chemtrail operations unfolding right above us. Remember Prince? He called this out before his suspicious death. Now others are stepping up, risking their careers to amplify the truth. Their voices have sparked a shift, pulling back the curtain on what's really happening in our skies. And I'll jump down a little further. Meanwhile, farmers are sounding the alarm, too. They're reporting crop failures left and right. And it's not just bad luck. They're finding soil loaded with aluminum and heavy metals, poisoning the land we depend on. This isn't just a coincidence. It's a pattern. And for what? Weather control? Population control? Some sick power trip? The elite thought they could use, or they could pull this off forever. Untouchable behind their private jets, high-level connections, and offshore accounts. They didn't count on the dam breaking. Aviation insiders, pilots who've flown the missions, mechanics who've loaded the tanks, air traffic controllers who've tracked the grids. They're coming forward in droves. One pilot, anonymous for now, told investigators he was ordered to fly patterns over rural Ohio, releasing what he was told was, quote, aerosolized weather stabilizers, unquote. He quit when he saw the lab reports. Aluminum levels 50 times the safe limit, and pathogenic viruses in aerosolized form. Another whistleblower, a former exec at a major contractor, leaked docs showing payments from a web of shell companies tied to, you guessed it, some of the biggest globalist foundations in the world, the Gates Foundation and Soros' Open Society Foundation. And then there's RFK Jr. He's been screaming about this for years, connecting the dots between Big Pharma, Big Ag, and now Big Aviation. He's got binders of testimony, and he's handing them straight to Trump's team. But the overlords aren't going down without a fight. They're scrambling. The word is that private jets are fleeing to non-extradition countries, and public relation firms are spinning climate necessity lies in the mainstream media. But it's too late. The people are awake, and the fury's boiling over. I'll stop there. There's a little bit more. If you want the whole article, you can go to The People's Voice. Their website is thepeoplesvoice.tv. And look for the title, from March 31st, Trump Launches Chemtrails Task Force. And speaking of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., here's one from LifeSite News. RFK Jr. promises to identify cause of autism epidemic by September. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explained that autism rates continue to climb and are now expected to impact 1 in 31 children, up from 1 in 10,000 when I was a kid. This is by Doug Mainwaring, again at LifeSite News, dated Friday, April 11th, 2025. Health and Human Services, HHS, Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said that his agency has undertaken a multinational study involving, quote, hundreds of scientists around the world, unquote, to identify the causes of the growing incidence of autism in children. Quote, we've launched a massive testing and research effort that's going to involve hundreds of scientists from around the world, Kennedy told President Trump during Thursday's White House cabinet meeting. He went on to say, by September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic and we'll be able to eliminate those exposures, unquote. Kennedy explained that autism continues to climb, and now the rates are expected to impact 1 in 31 children, up from 1 in 10,000 when I was a kid. I guess that's Kennedy himself saying that about being a kid. Trump said, quote, it's a horrible statistic. There's got to be something artificial out there that's doing this. There will be no bigger news conference than when you come up with that answer, predicted the president. As recently as 2000, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, research showed that 1 in 150 children were diagnosed with autism. While many mainstream autism researchers adhere to theories that the rising rate of autism is due to, quote, increased awareness, unquote, and an evolving, broadening definition of autism, Kennedy holds to the belief that the cause will be found primarily in environmental factors, eating habits, and currently accepted standard medical protocols. The HHS director told Fox News, quote, we're going to look at vaccines, we're going to look at everything. Everything is on the table, our food system, our water, our air, different ways of parenting, all the kind of changes that may have triggered this epidemic. This is an epidemic, Kennedy insisted. Epidemics are not caused by genes. Genes can provide a vulnerability, but you need an environmental toxin. We know that it is an environmental toxin that is causing this cataclysm, said Kennedy, and we're going to identify it. Kennedy is known for vehemently opposing vaccines, a stance he adopted after the mothers of vaccine-injured children implored him to look into the research linking thimerosal to neurological injuries, including autism. He went on to found Children's Health Defense, an organization with a stated mission of, quote, ending childhood health epidemics by eliminating toxic exposure, unquote. Largely, that through vaccines. The federal government spent more than $300 million in autism research in 2023, according to a report by the publication The Hill. All right, now on a somewhat different topic, a little interesting note from Fox News. I'll just give a few of the key points. Oh, and by the way, once again, let me repeat the source, in case you want to look at that in more depth about the autism. That was from LifeSite News by Doug Mainwaring, Friday, April the 11th, 2025. And the title was RFK Jr. Promises to Identify Cause of Autism Epidemic. Now, from Fox News, archaeologists uncover proof of ancient biblical battle at Armageddon site. Quote, exceptional phenomenon, unquote. This is by Andrea Margolis, Fox News, April 1st, 2025. The Museum of the Bible reveals footage of rare mosaic. This actually was a caption and a picture, I think, that I didn't get a chance to copy. But I'll say it again. Museum of the Bible reveals footage of rare mosaic, illustrating early symbols of Christianity. Officials with the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. created an animated video showcasing the ancient site where the Megiddo mosaic would have been found in Israel. The mosaic is on display for the first time since being found. Archaeologists believe they have uncovered evidence of an ancient biblical battle, all thanks to a few broken fragments found in a curious location. The artifacts, which mostly consist of Egyptian pottery, were found during a recent excavation of the ancient city of Megiddo, or Megiddo, in northern Israel. The site is said to contain over 30 layers of various settlements dating back from the Copper Age to World War I. Tel Megiddo was the location where Josiah, the king of Judah, famously fought the Battle of Megiddo in 609 BC. The Jewish leader was defeated and killed by the army of Egyptian pharaoh Necho II. The story of the battle is told in the second book of Kings in the Old Testament, but Megiddo is also referenced in the book of Revelation. The site is referred to as Armageddon, closely related to the Hebrew phrase Har Megiddo, which translates to Mountain of Megiddo. Megiddo is said Megiddo is said to be the location where the prophesied battle of Armageddon will be fought between the kings of the earth and God. But while archaeologists cannot prove that the site will be the location of a future battle during the end times, they believe they may have found proof of the Old Testament story. Dr. Asaf Kleiman, a senior lecturer at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev in Israel, told Fox News Digital he believes the pottery fragments belong to the Egyptian army that defeated Josiah. The findings consist of significant quantities of Egyptian-produced broken vessels dating back to the late 7th century B.C., close to when the Battle of Megiddo was fought. Instead of the fragments being proof of a trade relationship, Kleiman believes that they were brought in by Egyptian troops rather than being imported into the territory. The experts cited the, quote, crude production technique, functional mixture, and the lack of similar evidence in nearby settlements, unquote, as key reasons why they believe the artifacts were brought in by an army. Well, it has a great deal more interesting documentation there. I won't take time to read all of it, but again, if you would like to look at that in more depth, you can find it at Fox News online. The date of publication was April the 1st of this year by Andrea Margolis, and the short form for the title was Archaeologists Uncover Proof of Ancient Biblical Battle at Armageddon Site. All right, now, a little bit of news on the COVID, the history of COVID, you might call it, from The People's Voice, April 9th, by Sean Adel Tabatabai. And the headline reads, DOD report confirms 7 soldiers contracted COVID at the 2019 Wuhan World Military Games. A 2022 DOD report recently declassified by the Trump administration confirms that 7 U.S. soldiers contracted COVID-19-like symptoms during the 2019 Wuhan World Military Games held in October in Wuhan, China, authored by then Undersecretary of Defense Gilbert Cisneros under the Biden administration. The report marks a significant acknowledgement of early infections among American service members. Previously, the Chinese government and some U.S. journalists pointed to U.S. Army reservist, I hope I'm pronouncing the name right, Machi Benassi, as, quote, patient zero, unquote, alleging that she introduced the virus to Wuhan during the games. Despite these claims, the U.S. government had long denied that any participants exhibited signs of COVID-19 until this report surfaced, reversing earlier statements and fueling renewed debate over the virus's origins. Infowars.com reports this. Benassi consistently claimed that she never tested positive for or exhibited any symptoms of COVID, which may be true, as the newly released report does not disclose the names of the 7 service members who showed signs of COVID following the games. Meanwhile, CCP, the Chinese Communist Party defector, Wei Jingsheng, alleged in September 2021 that the Chinese Communist deliberately spread COVID-19 at the military tournament, telling the Mail, I believe that's Mail Australia, quote, I thought the Chinese government would take this opportunity to spread the virus during the military games as many foreigners would show up there, unquote. The whistleblower said he had heard the Chinese may have been preparing for a, quote, unusual exercise during the event involving, quote, some strange weapons, including biological weapons. Former principal China advisor to the U.S. State Department, Miles Yu, backed up Jingsheng's claims, asserting that he witnessed French, German, and American athletes fall sick at the tournament with COVID-like symptoms. Obtained by the Washington Free Beacon this week, The 2022 Biden DOD report revealed seven of America's 263 World Military Games personnel delegation exhibited COVID-19-like symptoms. From October 18th, 2019, up until January 21st, 2020. That means they potentially caught the virus over 2 months before China officially acknowledged the outbreak. And reading down a little ways, the report also noted service members were not tested for COVID-19 or antibodies due to their participation in the 2019 World Military Games, as testing was not available at this early stage of the pandemic. Quote, DOD has not conducted or opened an investigation into connections between the outbreak of COVID-19 and the 2019 World Military Games, the government document stated. The report was mandated by Section 106(8) of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2022. But the Biden administration failed to make the findings public, leaving the Trump DOD to release the information. Free Beacon reports, quote, former Biden Defense Department spokesman John Kirby told the Washington Post in June 2021 that the military had no knowledge of any COVID-19 infections among the troops that participated in those games, unquote. That now appears to have been a lie. Disgraced ex-National Health Institute's director, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was knee-deep in the gain-of-function research taking place at China's Wuhan Institute of Virology, where COVID-19 likely leaked. And that was just over 17 miles away from the location of the World Military Games in 2019. Meanwhile, billionaire eugenicist Bill Gates' Event 201 pandemic simulation exercise in partnership with Johns Hopkins University, Center for Health Security, and the World Economic Forum took place on October 18th, 2019, the exact same day the military tournament began. Former State Department official Mike Benz highlighted this bizarre overlap in a recent X post, writing, "This is absolutely insane. The Event 201 tabletop exercise playing out a bat-borne coronavirus being released in China was held the exact same day as the start of the Wuhan World Military Games, October 18th, 2019. This is absolutely insane." And reading down now, as InfoWars highlighted, in 2021, scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology attempted to secure $14 million in funding from DARPA in 2018 to genetically alter viruses, including bat coronaviruses, and make them more infectious to humans. The COVID-19 origin rabbit hole is deep, and the new Department of Defense report shows much more research and government transparency is necessary in order to provide more answers to the public after having their lives upended due to the intentionally released bioweapon. Interesting. And we still have a few more copies of our book. Sad to say, Elizabeth is no longer with us. But the book we wrote together is still available. I think I have about 20 copies left. If you'd like a copy of that for free, you can just write to me, Lou Caverly. That's spelled C-A-V-E-R-L-Y. Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And I'll be happy to send you a copy if you got a friend that will take it seriously. COVID and coming chaos is a kind of a history, you might call it, of the major events of those two or three years when the COVID was raging, and we were being told, came from bats, you got to shut everything down, you got to get injected with that untested or not adequately tested so-called vaccine. You can read all about it in our book, and as I said, we will be glad to send you, and I have to catch myself now that Elizabeth has passed on. I guess I need to say I will be glad to send you a free copy of the book. If you can just put a few bucks in for postage, that would be a big help to us. And, of course, if you can do better and help us out to keep the program on the air, we'd be very, very grateful. Well, now, let's see what else we have here. Well, this is an interesting one from the People's Voice. And did I say the preceding one? Again, the preceding one came from the People's Voice. And April 9th, DOD report confirms 7 soldiers contracted COVID at the 2019 Wuhan World Military Games. That's its title. The new one, UK government developing murder prediction program. And that's in quotes, murder prediction. This is also by Sean Adol Tabatabai, April 12, 2025, so pretty recent. The UK government is forging ahead with a chilling murder prediction program designed to pinpoint individuals likely to commit homicide before they strike. This predictive policing system, dubbed pre-crime, aims to preemptively arrest citizens based on algorithmic forecasts, raising alarms about a dystopian overreach. The program hinges on algorithms sifting through vast data sets, including social media activity, where spicy posts can already land you in jail across the United Kingdom. As these digital footprints feed into the system's calculations, the line between thought and crime blurs, paving the way for a future where suspicion alone could lock you up. Researchers are alleged to be using algorithms to analyze the information of thousands of people, including victims of crime, as they try to identify those at greatest risk of committing serious violent offenses. Now, let me interrupt. This is Lou speaking. I guess this would mean that they're going to get all kinds of data, probably with artificial intelligence, like so many things today, and come up with some kind of a big predictor that if you fit this pattern, if you, if you fit into point one, point two, point three, point four, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on down the line. If you fit all these descriptions, then the prediction is very, very good that you're going to commit a crime, in particular murder. Now, I think we all want murderers locked up. But for one, I find myself saying, is there a way, even with artificial intelligence, to be sure about this? Somehow, I find it hard to think that that's the case. But now let's read on. The scheme was originally called the Homicide Prediction Project, but its name has been changed to, quote, Sharing Data to Improve Risk Assessment, unquote. Notice they've left out the word homicide or murder. That was too hard to handle, I guess. The Ministry of Justice, again, this is the United Kingdom we're talking about. The Ministry of Justice hopes the project will help boost public safety, but campaigners have called it chilling and dystopian. This is Lou speaking. Yeah, I agree with that. That sounds right to me. Okay, now here we have a couple of comments that I'll read that people have written in. One person says, that's sketchy, but the real question is, what happens if the algorithm says you would be one? Preventive measures? Pre-crime jail sentences? Or what? And another person says, awesome. This is being sarcastic, I should tell you. Awesome. I was always hoping we could arrest criminals before they commit crimes. I'm sure this will be implemented, even-handedly, in a country where you can get in prison for mean words. Totally nothing to worry about here. And let me see. That pretty much wraps that up. One other person said, RIP, meaning rest in peace, UK. Rest in peace, United Kingdom. There is no coming back from this. Well, if they institute this, he's probably right, he or she. Okay, what else do we have here? From Slay News, we have breaking DNI, Tulsi Gabbard confirms voting machines have been hacked to manipulate America's elections. Well, we've had a lot of suspicions about that for quite some time. This is pretty recent, April 10th, 2025. And again, I'll give that preceding one when I finish this one. Frank Bergman was the author. Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has just announced that her investigators have uncovered evidence confirming that electronic voting machines have been hacked to, quote, manipulate the results of the votes, unquote, in America's elections. Gabbard dropped the huge bombshell when during a cabinet meeting with President Donald Trump and top administration officials on Thursday. She assured the president that the investigators who uncovered the evidence are, quote, the best of the best, unquote. And she told President Trump, I've got a long list of things that we're investigating. We've got the best of the best going after this, election integrity being one of them. We have evidence of how these electronic voting systems have been vulnerable to hackers for a very long time and vulnerable to exploitation to manipulate the results of the votes being cast, which further drives forward your mandate to bring about paper ballots across the country so the voters can have faith in the integrity of our elections. Gabbard dropped the revelation while providing a detailed update on her sweeping investigations into the politicization of intelligence and election interference. As Slate News reported last year, America's top hackers exposed the vulnerabilities during a demonstration at the annual DEFCON, I should say DEFCON, that would be Defense Con, conference in Las Vegas in August. They revealed that the voting machines due to be used in the 2024 presidential election had vulnerabilities that allowed ballot counts to be manipulated. The DEFCON Voting Village, that's in quotes, Voting Village hacking event entailed hackers working with a variety of voting machines. They were able to bypass firewalls and other security measures on devices meant for counting ballots and confirming voters' identities, Politico reported. The organizers said they were putting together a report on the hackers' findings. Harry Hursty Company, I take that back, Harry Hursty, co-founder of the Voting Village, reportedly said the detected vulnerabilities took up multiple pages, that's in quotes, multiple pages within hours. However, concerns about the 2024 election continued to grow when another hacker revealed in September how easily the machines could be overridden. As Slate News reported at the time, a disturbing video emerged showing a hacker using a USB stick to override an election voting machine and change the system's recorded votes in a matter of seconds. The process was so fast that the hacker needed to slow down the software to demonstrate what he was doing. After gaining control of the system, the hacker noted that he could, quote, do anything you want, unquote, with the machine and the votes. The hacker, whose identity wasn't revealed, provided a live demonstration on Patrick Bet-David's PBD podcast. During the demonstration, he explained that he was using a simple USB computer device that can be easily bought online for around $120. The hacker states, quote, "If this had been an election, I could have gone to the database and, for example, changed the votes." And Bette David asked, "How much of it could you have changed?" "Anything," the hacker replied. "It could add a new candidate who is not even on a ballot. It doesn't matter because if you have total control over the system, you can do anything you want." Unquote. Fortunately, the 2024 election was just too big to rig. However, Gabbard's findings will likely show that multiple elections may have been swayed due to the manipulation of voting machines. And it adds that this is a breaking news story, meaning there's probably more news to come out of it before too long. And I think we will all agree there's been a lot of suspicions about the elections of 2020. Nothing that has been proven yet, but it may be in the works to prove that there was a lot of hanky-panky going on to get Joe Biden and certain other ones elected. Now, on the international scene, we have this from Fox News. Whistleblower, oh, and let me just give the sources for those last two. The next to the last one I read was from the People's Voice, UK government developing murder prediction program, April 12th of this year. And the one I just read was from Slay News, breaking, Deanna Hyde Tulsi Gabbard confirms voting machines have been hacked to manipulate America's elections. That was from April 10th, just a few days ago. Now, from Fox News, whistleblower tells Senate committee that META, M-E-T-A, undermine U.S. national security to cozy up to China. That was April 9th, just 4 days ago, as I record this, 2025. By Louis Cassiano, Fox Business. A whistleblower on Wednesday told congressional lawmakers that Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and other executives lied to Congress as META actively tried to help China develop artificial intelligence in an effort to win favor with Beijing. Sarah Wynn Williams, who testified and detailed her experience at META in the scathing memoir, Careless People, that's a title, Careless People, testified before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Counterterrorism that she witnessed Zuckerberg and other executives, quote, repeatedly undermine U.S. national security and betray American values, the New York Post reported. Wynn Williams served as the director of global public policy at Facebook, now META, for nearly 7 years, starting in 2011. She said company executives, quote, did these things in secret to win favor with Beijing and build a $1 billion, no, I take that back, an $18 billion business in China. META allegedly helped China develop advanced artificial intelligence to help outcompete American companies, she said. Sarah Wynn Williams, and this is just a picture caption, Sarah Wynn Williams, former director of global public policy at Facebook, testifies during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in the Dirksen Senate office building on Capitol Hill on April 9, 2025. And her quote goes on, "We are engaged in a high-stakes AI arms race against China. And during my time at META, company executives lied about what they were doing with the Chinese Communist Party to employees. That is, they lied to employees, shareholders, Congress, and the American public," Wynn Williams said in her opening statement. Despite attempts by META to discredit her work and stop her from talking, Wynn Williams' book shot to the top 10 on Amazon's bestseller list. And, of course, commented him like that, and it says in a statement to Fox News Digital, a Meta spokesperson said when Williams' testimony was, quote, divorced from reality and riddled with false claims. Well, again, you can check that out, Fox News. And the book, now I'm not sure if the title of the book is that title I've read called Careless People, it may be. But her name, once again, is Sarah Wynn Williams. So if you go to Amazon, you should be able to see her book there, if it's in the top 10. And this, again, was from Fox News. Whistleblower tells Senate committee that Meta undermined U.S. national security to cozy up to China. April 9th, 2025, just a few days ago. And just a couple days before that, we had this one about Senator Ron Johnson, who's been one of the few who's actively tried to do something about the COVID information. Again, this is from Slate News by Frank Bergman, April 7th. Senator Ron Johnson puts COVID vaccine, and as usual, the word vaccine is put in quotes because it's not really a traditional vaccine at all. But beginning again, Senator Ron Johnson puts COVID vaccine makers on notice, demands safety records for injections. April 7th, Republican Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, has just sent shockwaves through the pharmaceutical industry by demanding safety records for COVID, quote-unquote, vaccines from major manufacturers. Johnson, the chairman of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, PSI for short, has formally requested internal records and communications from Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Johnson & Johnson. The top senator has ordered the big pharma companies to hand over all records regarding the development, safety, and government coordination of their COVID quote-unquote, vaccines. In a letter sent to each major vaccine maker, Johnson demanded transparency from the four pharmaceutical giants. The companies collectively received billions, that's with the B, billions of dollars in taxpayer funding to manufacture and distribute COVID vaccines. The letters cite mounting concerns about serious adverse events linked to the federally backed immunization campaign. And of course, this is a little dejecting. On many, many, many past shows, Elizabeth, when she was still living, and myself, talked about how these vaccines, if you want to call them that, first of all, they weren't vaccines in the traditional sense because they didn't prevent the illness, which all vaccines in the past were supposed to do. But since they couldn't do that, they changed the definition of vaccine. Completely dishonest, if you ask me. And then the testing was rammed through in order to get things out very, very quickly. The usual tests that any vaccine in the past would have had were not carried out. They carried out some superficial tests very fast. They rammed it through. They got that vaccine, again, if you want to call it that, out to the public as fast as they possibly could. And it reminds me of that statement, I think, by Admiral Farragut, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And that was their attitude. Get it out. Don't worry too much about the safety. They claimed they were safe. They claimed they were effective. They probably were neither. And Senator Johnson is trying to get to the bottom of it. Reading on now, specifically, Johnson noted the COVID shots links to myocarditis, pericarditis, thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome, Guillain-Barré syndrome, cancer, and sudden death. The pharmaceutical companies are ordered to hand over these. First, internal and external communications related to clinical trial data, post-market surveillance, and safety signals. Also, records on how the vaccines were tested against SARS-CoV-2 variants. All correspondence with U.S. government agencies and social media platforms regarding vaccine promotion, safety, and censorship of dissenting information. Johnson also referenced prior efforts by the Department of Health and Human Services under former President Joe Biden. Biden's DHS sought to block access to vaccine safety records. Johnson warned manufacturers, quote, any attempt to obstruct or delay responses to this request will result in compulsory process, unquote. And they give, if you are interested, you can actually see the letters that Johnson wrote by clicking on the links in this website. And it wraps it up by saying this investigation marks the latest in Johnson's ongoing oversight efforts into COVID policy, vaccine safety, and federal transparency. And if you are interested, also, I didn't get this article, but it says at the close of this one, read more, renowned immunologist drops bombshell as heart failure surges 115,100% in mRNA vaccinated. And doing a little simple math, excuse me, that would mean that the heart failure has surged by a factor of 1,151 times. All right, so that article was from Slate News, and the title, Senator Ron Johnson Puts COVID Vaccine Makers on Notice. Frank Bergman was the author. April 7th was the date. And now, we and many other critics have talked a lot about George Soros, and now his son. And the support they've given to far-left attorney generals, candidates for attorney general in various states, and other left-wing, causes, I guess is a good word as any. Here's something from The People's Voice by Baxter Nimitri, April 9th, 2025. A.G. Bondi, that's Attorney General Bondi, targets George Soros. Evidence ties billionaires' cash to paid protesters in domestic terror spree. Again, this is April the 9th. Attorney General Pam Bondi is poised to unleash a federal probe into billionaire George Soros and his son Alexander, targeting their alleged role in bankrolling paid protesters behind a surge of domestic terror attacks, including the recent violent rampages at Tesla sites across the U.S., according to reports. And, of course, she's referring there to sabotage. Well, it goes on to explain that, so let me continue. Coordinated protests have erupted from coast to coast, with chaos spilling into the streets. Tesla showrooms, service centers, and vehicles have been torched and defaced, branded by authorities as acts of domestic terrorism. Now, mounting evidence suggests these are not random outbursts, but a calculated campaign taking in paid protesters and organizers allegedly bankrolled by the Soros family through a shadowy web of NGOs, dark money, and paid agitators. And here we have a, let's see, I think what this is, I'm trying to decide. This is from David J. Harris, Jr. It says, exposed, paid-to-protest positions are being posted on Craigslist. A huge amount of new positions being posted everywhere are to protest cash paid. And each one says, hands off, anti-Trump protest march, merchandise, sales team, cash paid. that seems to say they're bribing people to carry out acts, as I see it. Anyway, get back to the article. For years, the Soros Empire, fueled by George's fortune and now guided by Alexander's hand, has operated in the shadows, funneling billions into radical causes via the Open Society Foundations and beyond. Critics have long excused them of orchestrating unrest from immigration upheavals to anti-government demonstrations. But this time the stakes are higher and the spotlight is sharper. Bondi's Department of Justice is piecing together a damning puzzle. Financial trails linking Soros-funded nonprofits like Indivisible, reportedly flush with nearly $8 million from the family's coffers, to the so-called Tesla takedown protests. These events, according to reports, are a front for something far darker, with the whispers of reimbursed agitators and pre-planned violence bubbling up from the fringes. The Soros name, once untouchable, is now in the crosshairs. If Bondi moves forward, it could mark a historic reckoning. George Soros, the Hungarian bond financier, who's dodged culpability for decades, will be branded public enemy number one, a designation that would send shockwaves through the global elite. With President Trump's administration backing aggressive probes into domestic threats, the full force of American justice could finally pierce the Soros veil. And again, that article was from the People's Voice, entitled A.G. Bondi Targets George Soros, etc., April 9th, 2025. Here's a little interesting one. I'll just read you basically just the headline or one or two paragraphs from the People's Voice. Declassified CIA files reveal Hitler didn't die. He lived secretly in South America for decades. The documents dating from 1945 to 1955 and recently declassified by the CIA were analyzed by the Washington Post this week. They show that field agents suspected Hitler may have escaped to South America under an alias, even though the agency had received an autopsy report supposedly confirming his death. According to MI5 files from Great Britain, Hitler and his longtime companion, Eva Braun, whom he had married the day before, killed themselves on April 30th, 1945. But it goes on to say that may have been a fabricated story. Interesting. I had a book on that topic, and I don't know what the title was. I'll have to look that up. I'll pass it along to you if I find it. So, those are some of the stories today. Now, we are about to begin, actually, I guess we have begun Holy Week. And I would be remiss as a Christian broadcaster if I didn't say that we are coming up on the most sacred holidays of the Christian year. And many of you will hear this program on Thursday evening, Maundy Thursday, when we commemorate the Last Supper, as Jesus told his disciples that he was going to leave them. And on Friday of this week, we will commemorate the death of Jesus on the cross. If you are a Christian, you know all about that. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't made that decision yet, now is the time. We think we have unlimited lifetime. I never thought Elizabeth was going to die when she did, 8 weeks ago today, as I record this broadcast. She was alive, seemingly not in the best of health, but not really acutely ill. But right about noontime that day, the nurses in her bed, or in her room, asked her to turn over on her bed so they could put clean sheets under. And she said, in a brief moment, "I can't breathe." And all of a sudden, the breathing stopped, the heart stopped. A bunch of nurses and doctors rushed in because the heart monitor showed that her heart had stopped. And that was it. None of us know how long we're going to live. Now is the day of salvation. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, now is the time. We're all sinners. I used to say, I'm not a sinner. I rebelled at that term. I'm not like Hitler, Stalin. I'm not a big sinner. Well, we're little sinners. And we can't enter God's kingdom that way. But God has provided Jesus as the sacrifice. We commemorate that. For many of you, as you hear this, it'll be tomorrow, Good Friday. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross to bring us to God. And he, in 2 Corinthians, it says, he made him who knew no sin, I think I have the right passage, to become sin for us. And so he has paid the penalty. If you've never made the decision, now is the time. None of us know. Will we have an hour left to live? A minute? 20 years? Who can say? So I would advise you, take advantage of this. Pray to God. Just say a simple little prayer. A child can say it. Just say, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I know, Lord Jesus, you died for me to pay the penalty. I accept that. I ask you into my heart. And I want to be yours. And that's all it takes. There's no better time in the entire calendar year than this to make that commitment. So, I'll wrap the things up. We only have a minute or two left, I believe. If you would like to write to me, again, the address is Lou Cavalli, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem. That's kind of appropriate too, isn't it? Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. If you can support the program, that would be wonderful. Give us a little financial support to keep it going. And if you'd like a copy of the book, COVID and Coming Chaos, just ask for it. That's all you have to do. Just say, please send me your book. So, as we approach the Easter, the joyous Easter holiday, I ask that God bless all of you. Thank you for listening, and good night.